It's a fan morning show. Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Yeah, pull your face warmer down.
Yeah, could you not hear me? It's on. That's me, Ailish Forfar, JD Bunkus, and Blake Murphy. Wow, what a night. Let's talk to the real Kipper. This insider brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus, where you can expect excellence online and in the showroom. Visit DonValleyNorthLexus.com. Nick Kiprios, former NHL forward and co-host of The Real Kipper and Born. Oh, boy. How about that Maple Leafs blowing it with the worst team in the NHL? How are you feeling this morning about last night?
They can't all be a box of chocolates now, can they? Probably should just kind of shrug it off as a one-off. I think Matthews said it best that sometimes you just run into a hot goalie. But unfortunately for Leaf fans, there's a hint of playing like this against Columbus in the bubble or game seven against Montreal. And it happens. It just happens where an offense like that, Matthews can do what he did last night and still you can find your offense scoring one goal and falling a little short. But I'm okay. For the most part, I'm okay with just rolling it off your back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not overly concerned with a loss like that. They kicked our ass, and that team is awful. Kipper, we're going to reconnect with you here in a second because you got some kind of a weird connection thing happening here. So give us 1 second, and we'll talk to Kipper more. Yeah, I think he's right. It rolls off your back. But I did think it was kind of interesting that Sheldon Keefe used that opportunity to sort of go in on his team, right? Like every quote that he has, this is a guy who has, they lose to Colorado and he goes, oh, my guys, they did so good. I'm so proud of my guys.
Nothing but my positives, little, he said.
Yeah, nothing
but positives.
Oh, just, you know, I love my little dudes. That's my little guys. I love them. And then same thing, Vegas, nothing but praise, nothing but positives. Then all of a sudden you lose to Arizona and it's a little bit of a different tune. So, yeah, I don't know. We'll see sort of how this thing ends up playing out over the next couple of days, how the shift ends up taking. But this is something I think we talked about with Bourne. When you are a hard-ass head coach or you're just a hard-ass person to be around in a leadership group of any kind, you have to pick your spots when you're going to be a hard-ass. So Sheldon Keefe probably was a little perturbed with blowing leads to Colorado and then to Vegas. And then when you lose one to Arizona where you fall a little flat at the end of the game, he's like, okay, I've contained my rage as long as possible. I'm saying something now. I'm letting it rip.
I feel like you also got to pick your spots as a coach too. You can't always be the same.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, things are good. Things are good. Things are good. Because it just becomes numb to the player. So I think after last night's loss, a fact that he decided to change his narrative, it's not a bad thing, but I think it's okay. You know, let's invigorate this team a little bit more. I got to say something that might light a fire under them. And that's the thing about being a coach is you got to know how your team responds and maybe it's time to change that narrative.
Yeah, so Sheldon Keefe uses up a bullet. He might have used it to sever Nick Kiprios' phone line. Unfortunately, like he caught a bit of a stray. So, yeah, nobody's upset. No one's really that concerned. I will say that Kipper is definitely going to be taking some victory marches about the Leafs record without Mitch Marner, because he has been Mr. Marner in terms of his importance to this team and making sure that he defends that guy. Kipper, I know you're back. Leafs are 5-6 without Mitch. What do you think the biggest fallout is when they don't have him?
I just think he's the most responsible guy from both ends of the ice. And there's often that he doesn't get credit for covering up other mistakes. And, you know, even to a certain extent, he allowed Matthews to probably be a little bit more aggressive. But his third man high, his ability to come back, break up plays in the defensive zone, his awareness on all aspects of the game. Yeah, they miss it, and they'll welcome it back Saturday against St. Louis.
Do you automatically put him back with Matthews? Because Kasha Bunting Matthews hasn't looked so bad. And I know that this is more of a – of Blake's territory. I kind of might be stepping on his thing here, but the advanced numbers for Kerfoot, Tavares, and Nylander suggest there's going to be some regression here. Keefe has loaded up lines in the past. Do you take a look at maybe a super second line and see how much Matthews can float on his own? Do you automatically put him back with Marner? What's your move there when he comes back?
Yeah, I do put him back with Matthews. I think it's important that he comes back. He feels good. Whether or not it's a shoulder injury or anything else, he hasn't been out a lot. He hasn't missed a lot of games, but when he does, it's not like he gets shot out of a cannon. So I wouldn't mess around with that. Now, there's something to be said about what you just mentioned, and that's the flexibility of a coach having different options, when the games start meaning something, at the end of the season or in the first round of the playoffs. It's nice to have options. If you get shut down, then perhaps you can go back to Kasha. But right now, no. He's one of your best players. He's one of the highest paid players. You don't mess around with that. You put him back in there and get him to feel good about himself and get going here. Mitch Marner is one of the best players in the league when he's on top of his game. So get him in early against St. Louis with the best line out there, and that includes Matthews now.
So somewhere you might want to tweak it and you might want to experiment with, if not the top line, is what the defensive core looks like. And there's been some shakiness on and off throughout the season. But someone who's impressed of late, particularly that game against Vegas, he was a healthy scratch last night, but Rasmus Sandin has looked pretty good. And the Colorado game is a bit of an outlier when you dive into, hey, does Keefe trust this guy against good teams? Some of his highest minute nights have actually come against some of the best teams in the league. So something we were kicking around yesterday and we wanted your take on is, at some point, do you try Sandin up the lineup a little bit more to see if he can perform in less sheltered minutes?
Well, first of all, I would have had him in the lineup last night. I think you want to guard against a little bit of a letdown or a sag, and that's exactly what happened. I thought he skated exceptionally well in the last couple of games, and he would have been the one guy where I could have counted on his feet moving last night. So, a bit of a mistake, I think, not finding a way to get him in there. But you're juggling. You got cap issues. You got Liljegren. I get it, but it's hard. Some nights you think that he might be one day an 18, 20 minute defenseman, and there's other nights when you go, oh no, he's a sixth pair and should be playing anywhere between 10 and 12 minutes. I'm not sure he's ready to go to another level, and they did that last year, Murph, where they built him up. They had him ahead of Morgan Rielly against Montreal on the power play, and it was just too much too soon. You can't overextend yourself on a defenseman. That position is just vital to your hockey club, and it's a slower process than a forward. So I'd be very careful, and don't put it on Sandin that your defense still isn't good enough to win a Stanley Cup. Go out there and find depth. That's on Kyle Dubas. That's not on Sandin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's a really great point. What I found fascinating about last night is that they healthy scratch him, and it's obviously not because of his play, because he was great the night before. I wonder if you have any information or you know anything about just the way they feel about him physically and whether he can hold up, because we talk a lot. And I don't mean just our show. I mean a lot of shows about, hey, how do you get Muzzin to the end of the season healthy? Hey, how do you make sure that Muzzin's going right? How do you make sure that you can find the odd night where he gets it off? And all I could think of yesterday when Sandin's out was Babcock. When Sandin originally came up to this team and they said, hey, he's not really ready physically yet. That's not that long ago, right? That's not eons ago. Do you think that this has anything to do with just what they believe internally is, we actually have to manage Rasmus Sandin's body out of all of our defensemen because of his frame, because of his size. We got to make sure that he's healthy for the playoffs, and that's why he's getting these nights off.
Yeah, there's a lot of different ways to look at it, but I don't necessarily you know, suggest that you completely write off what you just said. No, absolutely. He's not the biggest guy out there, but we can see that at times he wants to be physical. I think he's got some decent aggression in his game, and I think he's going to get better. I really do, to the point where, you know, is it a lock? He's going to be a 22, 24-minute guy. Can he be a 1, a 2, a 3 one day? He's got the skill to do it. He's got the foot speed to lead, I think. But it's just, it's just too much too soon. You know, the other thing, too, is they really pressed hard to get Liljegren in the lineup last night. They want him in the lineup. And, you know, there's also the fact that we all know they're shopping. They all know they got a wish list here. And it's going to cost something somewhere. Every time they talk to a team, they're going to want a young D back. That is a given. So I think in a perfect world, they hope that they don't ask or need to give up Sandin. And it's going to be Liljegren that's on his way out. So maybe as much as anything last night, guys, maybe a little showcasing as well to get Liljegren back in the lineup.
Yeah, tough, because old Phil just does the old blow-by. Liljegren singing, oh, it's just old Phil Kessel. He's probably not going to, oh, he's behind me. Oh, he's behind me. Maybe
Phil can still skate.
Oh, yeah.
And Phil will be in another uniform in a few months trying to help somebody win a Stanley Cup.
Yeah, I hope so. I like playoff Phil Kessel, for one. Okay, so now we're going to go down trade rumor lane. Because this is just always fun with you. I love playing these things out. You mentioned the potential for this team and what they could use in the immediate future. Okay, I think you're dead right, and you've been saying it for a long time. But let me just play this out with you. So Rasmus Sandin, I think we all agree, is going to be a stud, right? Can we just start with that?
It's heading there.
Yeah, okay. So you just gave Morgan Riley a contract, and you've got a stud who at some point you're going to have to give more minutes to, and he plays on the left side. So you also need cap space. You also need some money to move around, and you might need it with a little bit more balance. So let's play this out. The Leafs decide Jake Muzzin's the odd man out salary-wise this offseason. He's 33 next month. He's got 2 years left at $5.6 million. Does it cost you anything to move him? And if he finishes the year the way that he's been looking so far?
Yeah, my first thought is I'm not sure there's a lot of teams that want to take on his contract.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, so you can try, but I think it's a hard sell right now to move him. He has just not looked like the shutdown guy of even a season ago. I don't know what's up. And it's Hull. It's Muzzin. Some nights you think Muzzin's being affected by Hull, and then there's other nights when it's like Hull's being affected by Muzzin. But it is a huge concern, JD, I think, for Kyle Dubas, is that you can have all you want up front. You could be happy with your four lines. They're all contributing a goal here and there, and yet they're not going anywhere unless that blue line starts to take shape. But it has to be led with a shutdown physicality of a Jake Muzzin, and that's got to be a top priority right now to get him and Hull going, because it's not there right now.
So the conversation around Austin Matthews obviously gets picked up when he gets returned to Arizona. You know, he had a great night last night, but the main conversation that we have is what happens in 2 years when he's done his deal. I mean, we like to look forward into the future here, but I mean, is it a possibility? Do you think that he ever leaves, goes to play in the U.S., maybe in a bigger market than Toronto, like in New York? We definitely don't think he's going to go to Arizona, because that's obviously not kind of the lifestyle choice that he'd want, other than being close to home. But do you think that he leaves ever and wants to go, you know, to a New York or something?
Okay, this is you guys starting this, not me, right? So just so we're, you know, we're on record here.
Maybe.
Buddy, yeah. I'm not certain anything. That I'm saying he's never leaving. That this guy this guy's best friend is Justin Bieber. He loves being a celebrity. He's not going to Arizona. He's not going to go play for the LA Kings. Like,
yeah.
Let's be honest. He loves being a Toronto Maple Leafs. This is the premier franchise.
Yeah, I don't know. Go read that ESPN article again. Okay. And tell me if he loves being a Leaf. Last time I checked.
So now it's you, Kipper. Now it's you. Just so you know that you're like, now it's you. Now it's you who's doing this, not us anymore.
Because last time I checked, grocery shopping was a pain in the ass. Okay, so he looks happy. He scores like he's happy. Mm-hmm. He talks like he's got so much pride in a Maple Leaf uniform. But 2 years, you don't know what the Leafs look like in 2 years. It's hard to say, but you know, I think for me personally, you know, the way you know, he does talk, there's a window that you know, we'll see what happens when we get there. You know, is there a chance for him to go somewhere else and grow the game in markets that have never, you know, been accustomed to following NHL hockey, like in LA? I think there's a chance that he's the type of guy that could maybe look for new challenges in a couple of years, and is probably hoping that it includes going maybe somewhere with a Stanley Cup ring. But 2 years, man, it's not a long time, but it is a long time. So the question is, do you think he could leave in a couple of years? My answer is yes, I do believe that he could leave. That's where I'll leave it at.
That's all you, Kipper. You did that. You did it. Don't you dare. Don't you dare say
that. Get the quote deflect. Graphics
like,
ready.
Yeah, that's a board. Do I think he could leave? Kipper. Real Kipper,
yes.
Not fake
says
Kipper.
Yes.
And was asked the question, didn't volunteer it.
Yeah, hey, so that's what happens here.
It's because we're interviewing you.
Yeah,
we put
you
on
you're the
spot.
Expert. What do we know? We're the one. We're just rubes. You're the one. You're the connected one. Saying Matt's
why,
the lead.
Why are you guys all sweating this out now? Like, well, what's the big deal right now? Where's the panic right now out of you guys?
There's no panic. It just happens when he goes to Arizona, because people go, hey, is this guy going to try to save hockey in Arizona? And I think that's a dumb one where I say, there's no saving hockey in Arizona, right? Like, do you know what's bigger? You know what would have drawn more people to the arena last night than Austin Matthews if they were like, Larry Fitzgerald's going to be here? People would be like, oh my God, let's get down there. Let's go see Larry. Cliff Kingsbury's cousin is going to be here tonight. He's going to sign autographs outside of the Gila or Monterey. Oh my God, we got to get down there. Austin Matthews doesn't move the needle. Nobody in Arizona outside of his direct family members knows who he is. I'm sorry. It's just
study, first of all, just study the history of the Phoenix/Arizona Coyotes.
Right.
And this time next year, you could be talking about, can Austin Matthews save hockey in Houston? That's how crazy it is down there with that market and rinks and not paying bills and looking for a new home. Like would Austin now be licking his chops to go to Arizona in a few years, looking at that disaster so far?
Well, hopefully not. I guess the biggest conversation over the last couple of days, not Leafs revolving, well, a little bit, was Leafs and Evander Kane. I know that it was a small conversation that was had, some rumors that they were shopping, interested in him. Obviously, the Oilers have become kind of the front runners of people that are interested. You had McDavid yesterday saying, yeah, you know, he's a good player. Like, I don't care what you guys think. What did you hear about the Leafs looking into Kane, and, you know, how realistic was that? And maybe your opinion on if that was something that you'd be interested in.
I don't think he got anywhere close to more than kicking tires and having probably the strongest conversations were internally. I don't think it was with Kane's agent. Mm-hmm. And, you know, at the end of the day, it's not Kyle Dubas's style to go get a guy like that. I don't think he speaks very highly of his room and how close the team is. And it's not, I look at that left side, and I still not sure it's, you know, going to hold up for four rounds to win a Stanley Cup. But, you know, getting Evander Kane is not his top priority. It's that blue line, and everybody's been saying it for a long time here. So not close, Eilish. Not to the point where, you know, Leaf fans could really think that it is possible. So we all still think he's going to end up in Edmonton, and if he doesn't end up in Edmonton, I mean, there's a lot of egg on Kenny Holland and yeah. Connor McDavid if somehow he does not end up an Oiler. I can't recall seeing, you know, a team so public on getting somebody that, you know, still has got a lot of question marks, you know, mm-hmm. off the ice. But they've laid their cards on the table, man, publicly, and they better get them.
Well, I think the rumors are that it should happen in the next couple of days, maybe this weekend. We'll have you on, I'm sure, shortly to debrief that.
he can sign, but we still don't know whether or not the league's going to turn around and suspend him again.
Mm-hmm.
Like he got 20 games for a fake card, vaccination card. If he crossed the border, you know, illegally or without permission, like, what is that? 10 games? 15 games? Is it one?
Mm-hmm.
One? So, still a lot of unknown questions here moving forward for not only Edmonton, but, you know, if there's another team that's still contemplating it.
Oof. Well, at least there's a little bit less to do in Edmonton. Maybe just hit up the West Edmonton Mall. we appreciate you coming on and debriefing last night's game, and talk to you soon.
Okay, thanks, everybody. Have a great day.
You too. That Insider was brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus, where you can expect excellence online and in the showroom. Visit DonValleyNorthLexus.com.
I'm going to be doing a take it or leave it video today on Instagram, so tune in for that. Give me a follow. Watch the video. Like it. Share it. Leave a comment. It's going to center around this, what Kipper just said. It's one thing to go out and get Kane. It's a whole other thing if Edmonton misses here after just kissing his butt for multiple days. Like, they have now a, 48-hour news cycle out of Edmonton of, please, Evander Kane, please come here. Oh, my God, we don't care what you did. We love you. Please, we're begging you. We'll throw all of our reputations down the drain just to get close to you, just to get a sniff. We just want to know what you smell like, Evander Kane. Please. Oh, kissy, kissy, kissy. Please come here, man. If he turns up his... That would be one of the funniest things ever. Like, honestly, it would be one of the funniest things that I can remember in the last couple of years. If Evander Kane goes, I'm just going to go play with the Panthers, you know? Forget this. Forget this.
I mean, the Florida lifestyle definitely is something that would be intriguing to him over an Edmonton lifestyle. And Florida's looking pretty good lately. So I wouldn't be surprised. I think it would be, just as you said, pretty funny because they've rolled out the red carpet. They got everybody saying, come on over, Edmonton.
Please, oh, please, like me. Oh, please, Evander Kane, like me. Please, oh, please, oh, please. First, you had Zach Hyman smooching all his teammates here in Toronto when he comes to town. And now you got everybody within the Edmonton Oilers organization smooching Evander Kane. Oh, please, Evander. Oh, we love you so. We love you so, so much. Oh, oh, oh. Please, like Edmonton. Boo, boo, bee, boo. Yeah, I hope he goes there. I think it makes the Edmonton Oilers a far more interesting watch. Plus, I'll be honest, I don't want to see Evander Kane play for the Panthers or the Lightning. That doesn't bode well for me. I don't think that the upside is scarier than the downside there with those organizations. I don't think that they end up getting derailed. Maybe the Panthers a little bit more, but I would expect that either organization walks away at the first sign of trouble from that dude, right? Like, they just don't let it manifest. They don't let it get down that track. Either way, boy, Edmonton, be more embarrassing right now. We're going to do more of that with Jackie Redman. We're going to play Connor McDavid's audio as he does his part in the smooch fest for Evander Kane, as he does his sell job. Trapdoor again. Trapdoor parlay again.
Ugh.
It is what it is. I was the trapdoor the day before.
I know.
Now you're the
trapdoor.
It's
not a great feeling watching that game late into the evening. I know.
Especially
compromising
since we had already locked
sleep.
Up our other bets.
Locked up. This is what happens. It's like the first two hit, and you're that person sitting there saying, come on, guys, do it for me. And there was a little bit of hope when they tied it up. I thought, okay, here we go. They just need to pot two goals real quick, maybe one empty netter, and then they lost. Yeah. So I take the blame on the Wake and Rake loss yesterday. We're still doing well with the two out of three hits, but I guess we'll dive into that next after the break. It's Fan Morning Show, Sportsnet. 590 The Fan.
Good morning. It's the Fan Morning Show. Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Blake Murphy, JD Bunkus, Ailish Forfar. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast where you get it. Rate, review, all that good stuff. That's JD's ask when we give you the hot picks that are hitting at an okay clip. Follow JD and Ailish on their socials, too. It's just their names, JD Bunkus, Ailish Forfar.
Don't say okay. Don't say okay. Amazing. We're picking amazing right now. This is honestly, like, we are picking at a rate in which the sharpiest of sharps would be like Ken Holland with Evander Kane for our picks, you know? Like, they would be smooching. They would do all kinds of horrific things to have this pick rate. Honestly, Blake's pick yesterday was so good that you just had to pull up the, like, I love a no sweat in a parlay on the first leg. It's so satisfying. It's so satisfying. And Blake had the first leg of our parlay, and it's just halftime over. This is a cover. Done. This is a walk, half asleep cover. Brilliant. Brilliant from Blake Murphy. So what's the record now, Blake? Because again, this isn't okay. These are amazing picks.
Well, yeah, I guess I have a high bar because I want people to hit the full parlay. I don't want people to have to find the trap.
What are we, but, genies?
So we've done 18 Wake and Rakes. Five of them have won. Five of them have won. 10 of them have been the trap door with just one wrong. Overall, 34-16 on these picks. So that's a 68% clip on our best bets.
68% clip on our best bets.
And as a reminder, we do include in these that we can't pick anything beyond a -200 in terms of a favorite. So we do have to pick something that's returning some value. We're not going cowards parlay here. So 34-16. There you go. Last night,
if you got half a brain, you got money right now. Okay, you got half a brain. That's all you got to have. Half a brain, and you're making money right now. All you got to do is subscribe to this podcast, and then when you say "bing bong," it's 8:30. There's the Wake and Rake, or you tune in live. It's a free money giveaway half hour. That's all you have to do. That's all. And all we ask in return is that you leave a 5-star review and that you subscribe to this podcast and you listen to How to Get Free Money. And some of you out there are like, oh, I'm going to watch Jim Cramer. Shut up. Just listen to the Wake and Rake podcast. Find the trapdoor. Pick our picks. Separate them. Parlay them. Do whatever. You're making money. And I've even been giving people away money on Instagram. And it's just like, that's all I ask is just, you know, shoot a follow in a DM and then you can get money. And you can gamble.
And
you can win more money.
You
get more money. This is the stupidest thing. It just frustrates me. It's like, this should be the world's most famous thing, you know? This should be the world's most famous thing. It should be like, this is the news of the day, is Wake and Rake yet again winning people huge money. Once again, no sweat, Blake Murphy, just walk away NBA pick. All right. To recap, this is one of those things where the process was right, Ailish. I'm sorry, but the process was right. The Leafs got incredible bad luck last night. They just did. They outplayed the crap out of Arizona. -1.5 was... You just picked the wrong -1.5. You liked both the Boston Bruins
and
the Toronto Maple Leafs.
I meant Arizona 1.5. Oops.
Yeah, I know. I love that, too. So, I wish you could use that on your bookie. Like, what I actually meant...
I made a mistake. I'm new.
Oopsie.
So, I actually... This is a good reminder, too, and I know there are some people who are tagging along with these Wake and Rakes as a way of getting their feet wet or understanding this stuff better. Don't hesitate to hit any of us with questions on our socials, too. I had a good conversation with a listener yesterday who had a misunderstanding of what plus is and what versus what minus is in terms of the point spread. And We walked through a simple example. So don't hesitate to reach out because, again, you should be doing this stuff responsibly. You should be doing this stuff safely and within your limits. In terms of the Leaf game last night, just to hammer home how it was a good process bet, Ailish, the Leafs had 5.9 expected goals for in that game, which is not only the highest of the NHL season, it is the 32nd highest expected goals of the last decade in the NHL. So not only on expected goals would the Leafs have almost hit the over on their own. We would have expected them to score 6 times in that game if we played that game out a million times. The Coyotes still bad. The Leafs just got goal lead, and sometimes that's going to happen. Sometimes you're going to get goal lead as the Leafs and as a better.
Yeah, you know, the ones that I've missed on have always been, you guys have been like, it was good process. You tried your best. You had the right idea. So at least I have that going for me. It's like, you're not picking these outrageous ideas that are, you know, just $5 like last night. Oh, Matthews hat trick, just $5. These are like, I've put thought into them and it's just, they are failing me.
Well, what am I going to do? Am I going to sewer you and be like, well, that was stupid.
No,
you
no.
Took the Panthers.
I mean,
plus you've been hot of late, so. Keep it
yeah, I don't know. I think you're even confusing yourself from me making excuses for myself, like when I miss bets, because that's usually my excuse, is the process was fine on most of them. There are times where I kick myself over something, and I'm furious that I bet the way that I did. But no, this gets back to, I think we started talking about this when I missed on the Steelers receiver prop. I always call him Antonio Brown, and I can't help myself, but it's Deontay Johnson, where the guy has Deontay Johnson has 13 receptions, and he doesn't hit his over total with yardage. And you go, well, that's just the way the cookie crumbles sometimes, is you just get a bad beat, and that one is that's a bad beat. That's the one card you need in the deck hitting on the river, and that's the Arizona Coyotes beating you. I just had some kind of a weird power surge, but I think I'm getting internet back now. I think that soon I will resume being on the Zoom. Let's start our wake and rake for tonight, though. Let's start to give out winners.
Yeah, Ailish, why
Blake,
don't you go
first. No, Blake, you go first this time. You always go last, and you have 1 second to explain it, and I'd like to hear what you have to say.
Okay,
first.
But I'm going to say that's been working. And I don't
What are you, superstitious now?
I'll go first. Stitious. I'll go first, you two
I'm a
weirdos. You're a little stitious. Okay, I'll go first. I like the Denver Nuggets tonight. It's -9 for them to cover. I think you can tease that down a couple points if you want, but I'm not going to. I'm just going to bet the -9. Portland is beat up. You got Norm Powell in COVID protocols, you got no Damian Lillard. You got no C.J. McCollum. Anthony Simmons has been incredible for them lately, and so there's a tiny little bit of fear. But no, if you just look at – so I was just going to say, Simmons was questionable the last time I saw this morning. Now he's out. So bing bong. If you could – I'm guessing that line has now moved from -9 then, because that's what I looked at it and played it at this morning. But if you can – Beat the book. This is going to be a beatdown. This is one of those weird COVID slot. This is not even just COVID, because this is injuries to two other guys that are not even related to that. But this is one of those JD jumps on a team that is shorthanded, that people are not looking into well enough. I don't think that the books have done a good enough job for adjusting for how bad NBA teams can be when they're missing this many like strong rotation players. So yeah, you take out all of Portland's guards are out. Oh, four of the four guys. What do they what do those guys make up when it comes to the minutes for what Portland has got at point guard this year or for shooting guard this year? Every single minute. So now you have zero of those four guys. Denver is going to smoke them. If Denver loses this game or doesn't cover 9 points, it's a travesty. So I'm taking Denver -9. I already have it locked in. I have quite a bit of money on it.
Yeah. So I like it. Anthony Simons is he had a death in the family, so he's away. And then again, Dame, CJ, Norm, Larry Nance also out for them. So you've got a handful there. And then, you know, the Nuggets haven't been world beaters necessarily, but they're getting a little healthier in terms of non-Murray, non-MPJ guys. Portland is going to start Dennis Smith Jr. at point guard in this game, probably, or Ben McLemore and Nasir Little as they're like on the wings. It's not a good situation.
No.
Like Trendon Watford and CJ Ellaby are playing rotation minutes for them right now. And you guys know I'm fond of the fringy guys, but against Jokic, like you have Nurkic still, sure. But Cody Zeller is doubtful in this one too. So your center depth is a question mark as well. So I like that one. I didn't have it as a best bet, but I have it queued up for a parlay card a little bit later.
Do you know what I hate? The only thing I hate about this bet is that it's I don't like being the anchor of a parlay late at night. I don't like being in the A-list shoes.
Yeah, it sucks. Don't do it. Win.
Well, my Brooklyn Nets, just the only reason they shifted that was because they swamped them after halftime. But either way, it's like, yeah, and I had the Lakers last night as the last leg of a parlay, sweating it out as Russell Westbrook shot up his a millionth miss without any semblance of a conscience. And it's just that's the worst thing as a sports bettor is when everything's covered and you're staying up late at night because you can't sleep. Who sleeps? Who is the psycho that has the last leg of a parlay as a 10 o'clock or a 10:30 game? And then they're like, good night. I'm like, what? Are you narcoleptic? How is that even possible? Do you take incredible drugs? If so, share those drugs. I can't do it. I'm not. I don't have the constitution to do it. So that's the only part of this I don't like. But I love the Nuggets tonight. I think they're going to kick their ass.
All right. Well, you know who I love tonight? The Pittsburgh Penguins. They're playing the LA Kings. And Evgeny Malkin is back hot off a two goal debut. So he's back. He got two goals and an assist in his debut. I feel like he's going to ride that high. The LA Kings, you know, not the toughest of competitions. So I'm going to go with Penguins money line. It's -145. I just need a nice safe bet. I'm not doing any in regulation. I just need a nice win. I like that one. Lock it.
Okay. So that's we got Nuggets -9 and we have the Penguins just outright.
That's it.
So yeah, the Malkin thing is fun. Malkin being back is that was fun the other night. It was also fun to, like, for whatever reason, when he scored his second goal, people were going through and just retweeting a bunch of weird old tweets he has.
Yeah, I love it.
Which was entertaining. So that one, what are we looking at there? -145. So
yeah.
Not bad there. There are a couple interesting hockey ones out there tonight, but they're big lines.
Vancouver Canucks, they're playing the Lightning. Like, I would 100% go in on Lightning, yeah. But the money payout isn't great. -250.
Yeah. The big two that stand out to me are the Hurricanes -235 against the Blue Jackets. That projects us closer to a -300 game, but you're probably going to have to play the puck line or a regulation play to get good value there. It's the same kind of thing with Nashville and Chicago. If Saros and Fleury play, they're big favorites, but maybe not as big of favorites as they should be, given where things project. The only dog that really stands out on the NHL side is Seattle at St. Louis, and they don't. That's not a great spot in general, but they're +190, and that's more of a, you know, it's closer to 55-45 than it is 60-40. So yeah, it's an interesting NHL slate. There are a lot of games, so if you want to dabble in the NHL, that's there. So I'm torn between two here, and maybe you guys can help me sort through it. So good NBA slate tonight as a fan, for sure. You get Warriors at Bucks. And there's no Draymond, and Drew is doubtful, so that's a little hard to...
Drew's not playing.
I mean, he's almost definitely not. He's officially doubtful, but
yeah.
Why would you... So Draymond's out on the other side, which is a big thing. And the Warriors haven't looked... I mean, they didn't look great against Memphis, but Memphis is killing everyone right now. And the Bucks haven't looked great, but maybe the Hornets just have their number. So that one right now is probably a stay away from me. I'll probably put something small on it game time just to spice it up, but definitely not in the tier of best bets.
You know what I don't like about betting that game is with no Drew and no George Hill, I'm going, who the hell is guarding Steph? And then on the other side, though, I go with no Draymond Green. I'm like, who the hell is defending Giannis? And so to me, actually, maybe the play here tonight, Blake, is to do a little bet builder like you can do on Cool Bet and take the over on Giannis points and the over on Steph Curry points.
Oh, that's fun.
The studs, the two studs in a parlay tonight, and saying both these guys are going to get theirs. Primetime game, two guys going head-to-head, two MVP caliber players, both in a matchup where they're not facing high-end defensive players.
So the over-under for Steph is 26.5, and for Giannis, it's 30.5. If they were to both hit, you can pair them together for plus 260. Mm-hmm. So you're talking big individual games, but that's an interesting way to approach it. I also have one college line I like. I'm not going to lock it in as my best bet, but Wisconsin hosting OSU tonight. Wisconsin's 3.5-point favorites. I like Johnny Davis. I know our producer Daniele is big on the Badgers right now. I've seen a couple sharps on Wisconsin, even giving up the points early this morning. So I like Wisconsin as a money line play there. That's also like a high watchability game as well. Potential top five pick, another potential draft pick in EJ Liddell. Just some fun there. And a very good offense in Ohio State against a very good defense in Wisconsin. So matchup wise, it's a fun one. But I'm locking in for mine. We're going. So this is similar to the Cavs pick yesterday in that it's a team we've talked about liking a lot, but actually haven't really used much on the Wake and Rake. Going Grizzlies -5.5, hosting the Timberwolves. Minnesota's been better of late, and Memphis has some question marks with Dylan Brooks obviously out. Steven Adams, a question mark for tonight up against Karl Anthony Towns, and Minnesota is getting back to health. However, the Grizzlies have won 10 in a row. They won 7 in a row against the spread. Minnesota has primarily been playing against bad teams of late, so I don't know that I believe in their turnaround. The Timberwolves with D'Angelo Russell and Karl Anthony Towns are very much a, well, yeah, of course you can beat all the bad teams. You have a lot of talent. And Ant is obviously a different case there. Like, I think he's legitimate. But Memphis is the deepest team in the NBA. They're on fire. I think I was curious if this was going to make the A-list. They've earned some extra karma here by they're doing a promotion where kids can bring in old jerseys of other teams, and they will give you a Ja Morant or Jaren Jackson Jr. jersey and two tickets. So I think there's a little karma juice going there for the Grizzlies as well. Grizzlies at home -5.5 against the Timberwolves is my pick for the Wake and Rake.
Can I tell you why that is not the karma, though, for the Grizzlies? I like this. I have the Grizzlies money line already in a parlay. I don't like the way Ja Morant did it. I really don't. I think that it's like it's a little kid having fun in a Warriors jersey and to be like it's disrespectful. And then I think he kind of had to reel it back a little and go, hey, and I'm really not trying to be Mr. Serious here, honest to God. But to me, it's like there are some guys who are funny and there are some guys like Anthony Edwards where they can say things and joke around and there's just a tone. It's a tone thing. I say this as someone who I think suffers from it himself. So I think Ja Morant suffers from a similar affliction where he can mean something in a jokier way, but it doesn't come off that way. It just doesn't have the playfulness to it that you want it to. Whereas a guy like Anthony Edwards, he can say anything he wants. It could be the most incendiary thing. And people would go, I love you, Ant. That is so funny, Ant. That is brilliant, Ant. And so it's like more of the Ailish, you know? It's like, oh, that's nice.
Like, to the extent I could see Anthony Edwards showing up to this game with, like, a dozen Anthony Edwards jerseys and handing them out to kids in Memphis.
And it would
like,
be amazing. And it would be
he's
great.
Not going to do that, but I could – it would not – if, like, that's on the A-list tomorrow, hey, the Grizzlies give away all these jerseys, so Anthony Edwards one-ups them. Like, that would not be a shocker. He's
Stay tuned. 6:30 a.m.
Well, it was just – it was and for those of you that don't know, I guess I shouldn't speak about this story as though people do because it's kind of a fringe one if you're not a hardcore NBA fan or someone that pays close attention. But it's just like Ja Morant wouldn't dap up a little kid who was wearing a Warriors jersey in a home crowd. And he's like – he called it disrespectful and then afterwards said that he'll get the kid a jersey. And it was meant, again, tongue-in-cheek, but also it was just like – you suck at it, though, man. Just dap up the kid. Like, just dap up the kid and then get him a jersey later. Like, that just – Ja Morant, I love the guy. He's an incredible talent. He's literally one of the – like, he's almost everything I love in a basketball player, where it's like the explosiveness, the style, the FU attitude, all the different things. And yet, whenever he's interviewed, I'm always kind of like, eh. whether it's about the dunk contest stuff or it just he does seem to have a little bit of a disconnect with just how to sell himself properly. And I don't know what to make of that. This is a weird thing. I don't know why I'm in this
take. As someone with a dry sense of humor and angry resting face, I feel for him, man. Sometimes there's not. Sometimes you get told, hey, you gotta joke around. You got to have a little bit more fun with it. And then you try, and it comes off as serious because that's what people expect from you, and that's where, you know, your tone is, even when you are joking around.
Yeah,
like, look, listeners of this show know exactly what I'm talking about. So I feel for Jaw a little bit. But, yeah, he's on the wrong side of how that one came off. But I do think they've spun it really well. Like, the Grizzlies giving away jerseys and tickets for a jersey exchange is really cool.
But that's what I'm saying. They have to now. They had to because he fumbled it so badly that the Grizzlies are like, everyone gets a free jersey to not hate our superstar franchise player for acting this way with children. That's it. This is a complete fumble. Okay, so our wake and rake then. To summarize, our parlay for the evening is Denver Nuggets -9, which you can actually even get it at -8.5, I'm seeing in some places now. So if you can grab that -8.5 number, I recommend that. But I'm locking it as -9. Our Ailish Forfar going with what she hopes is a layup, right?
We'll see.
Penguins, money line.
Penguins, money line over the Kings. The good thing is me and you are both on the West Coast, so it won't just be one of us sweating it out on the back leg of the parlay. Yeah. At least we'll know Blake's an 8 o'clock start, so we'll know that we're either in it or not earlier on. But, yeah, we both have the later games tonight.
And, Blake, you're laying the points with the Grizzlies. You're taking them -5.5.
Yeah, the money line's too far. It's -230. Yeah. So I'll lay the points here. I'm obviously would be more comfortable with the outright, but I'll give the 5.5. So Grizzlies -5.5, Nuggets -9, Pittsburgh Penguins outright.
Okay,
let's do it.
Let's do it. Don't let us down, Jaw. Otherwise,
can I be honest, guys? I'm feeling with the streak that we've been on, and like mine, like the text you sent me last night, JD. I'm feeling a lot of pressure these days.
Dare. Don't you dare. Don't you dare. Feeling don't you dare do what? That. Now you're doing it. This is you tinkering with the vibes in a weird way. Like,
I'm feeling the pressure. That's all.
Yeah. But I'm saying is like, let's see if you're a pressure player or if you're like second down. I know you're feeling the pressure because you literally went like, you guys, maybe you can help me with my bet. And
you tried to put it on us.
And now you're just letting all your anxieties hang out. It's like, there's no pressure. There's no pressure. Like I said, when you're hitting at a 68% clip and you have been as good as you have been where it's just dart on NBA picks, if you miss one, it is what it is. This is what comes with gambling. And I will say, shout out to the listeners. For the most part, people get pissed off when they lose bets and people can act like they can go into a crazy zone when they lose money. Our listeners so far, to me anyways, have been
they're so grateful.
Great. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. It's just I've seen nothing but people sending the winning bet slips. I've seen nothing but people, even when we do lose these things, going like, damn, so close. I can't believe this is what happened to us. Yeah. Kind of commiserating with things like, you know, Ayton, how he has 9 rebounds somehow. That is going to go down as truly one of the most Hall of Fame losses of a bet that has ever happened. Ayton.
That in the Leafs losing to Arizona.
That's it. It's like we've literally had 3 losses of parlays that have come with just historic numbers now. The Arizona Coyotes win, historic numbers. Deontay Johnson, historic amount of targets for least amount of yards. DeAndre Ayton, never, I don't care. In the history of basketball, there's never been a 7-footer who got his ass kicked by G League guys on the defensive glass like that, who played that many minutes. I should even put it differently. That many missed shots by an opponent versus that many minutes on the floor at 7 feet. That rebounding rate is what I would like to know historically someday. I guess what? History in the making.